Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today it's Monday, April 16th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment right now to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We also have links to join on our homepage at normalaudiostash.com. It is the last day before you can actually file your income taxes. Of course, you can also do an extension. It's very easy to do. You just go onto the IRS website, search tax extension. You can download the form. In fact, I had to do it last year. It's real easy. This year, I filed early, though, just so that I could get out to the post office today and hand out Normal's Tax Me flyers and stand out there with my Normal Tax Me banner in the wind here in New Jersey. You can get flyers and you can get your banners online right now. We have a special jump page at normal.org filled with all the material you need to get active on this tax day. Go out there. Everyone go out there to your post office and go say, tax me. It really is a great opportunity for earned media for Normal chapters, and it's also a great opportunity to get the word out about taxing and regulating marijuana and ending prohibition. We have an excellent show for you today here on Tax Day, dealing with all the tax issues. Joining us will be Jeffrey Myron. He's an economist up at Harvard University. Alan St. Pierre will be on the program here with us today as well. And folks, this week, it is the week of 420. And folks, let me tell you, it is going to be an amazing week of Audio Stash episodes leading up to 420 on Friday. And of course, we're going to have a special extended show for you here on 420, right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. But here's what we have for you this week. Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, will join us here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash this week for an interview about his case and, well, things cannabis in general. Also, Ed Rosenthal will be joining us this week for an update on his case in California. Ed's got a new book out, Why Marijuana Should Be Legal. We'll have links to that on our website all week this week. Also joining us on the program this week, Bernie Ellis from Nashville, Tennessee. Bernie's got a benefit concert going on the 25th of April. More info about that at SaveBernie'sFarm.com. Also this week, we're going to have John Sinclair, the famous author, poet, and publisher who's living over in Amsterdam right now. And on Friday, our special 420 show will feature some very, very cool interviews with the High Times staff, editors, and writers up there, and some of the folks who are going to be at the High Times press conference on Wednesday the 18th. It's going to be a big week here on the Audio Stash. Make sure you tell your friends to tune in because this is going to be an excellent week of programming leading up to 420 on Friday.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
In 2005, the Marijuana Policy Project funded an economic study of the possible outcomes of taxing and regulating marijuana in a manner similar to alcohol. It wasn't surprising that there would be some revenue generated. What was a surprise was just how much revenue could be there. The full report can be found online at the website www.prohibitioncosts.org. We have links to that report up on our homepage today. When the report was initially released, it did serve as a catalyst for Nobel laureate Milton Friedman and 500 additional economists to issue an open letter in the New York Times calling for a regulated marijuana market here in the U.S. Joining us to discuss the dollars and cents of taxing and regulating marijuana is the author of that report, Harvard economist Jeffrey Miron. Jeff, welcome to the program today.
Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to speak with you on this final day before our taxes are due to the IRS, Jeff. So how much can we make from regulating and taxing marijuana?
Well, from the taxation of marijuana, my estimates are that we'd get between sort of $3 and $6 billion annually. The exact amount depends, of course, on what the tax rate is. If we taxed it like all other goods, we're talking, say, $3 billion. If we taxed it the way we taxed alcohol and tobacco, probably more like $6 to $7 billion.
And when we talk about the model used for alcohol and tobacco, Jeff, how does that differ from how we tax other goods?
Well, most regular goods are subject to standard state sales taxes, which vary from, say, 4% to maybe 7 or 8% in the highest taxation state. For alcohol and tobacco, we have tax rates that might account for 30, 50, in a few cases even 60, 70% of the price. So those tax rates are much, much higher.
So could localities benefit as well? Cities, you know, could they benefit as well as the state and the Fed?
That would depend. They certainly could. There are city-level sales taxes in some places. For the most part, the taxation of these commodities like alcohol and tobacco are partially federal and partially state, and then states, of course, then share them with their municipalities to a great degree.
So, Jeff, there's a system already in place that could be used to tax marijuana. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the standard sales taxes exist in every state or almost every state for the vast majority of goods. Those systems are somewhat complicated in some places because there are various exemptions and special cases. But likewise, we have standard excise taxes, or some people call them sin taxes, for alcohol and tobacco. So it would be using exactly the same system. It would simply incorporate an additional commodity.
And being an economist, you know, have you spoken to others in your field? How do other economists view this concept?
I've spoken to lots, and a number of economists reviewed my study and were supportive of the general conclusions. I think that there is a subgroup of economists who are somewhat nervous about the taxation and regulation approach. They're worried that many more people would use marijuana if it were legalized and regulated, and that might lead to some health or productivity or other problems. But I think most would agree that the evidence does not suggest significant effects along those lines. And indeed, the evidence suggests that marijuana is a safer commodity overall than alcohol or tobacco. So I think, generally speaking, you would get reasonably good support from economists for the approach that I'm proposing.
And is there really any other single item that could cause such a positive financial correction for our economy?
Well, let me first emphasize that I wouldn't want to take it as given that we need to be collecting more tax revenue, so I think we should be spending a lot less money and therefore overall need less tax revenue. But given the level of spending that we choose, whatever that is, marijuana and other illegal drugs are obvious suggestions. The main other one would be prostitution, which is the main other illegal commodity on which we're not collecting tax revenue except in a few places like Nevada, and that's a significant industry where there would be a lot of tax revenue to be gained.
Jeff, when your report came out, there was also included some idea of how this added revenue could be spent, one of which was securing loose nuclear weapons in the Soviet Union. Another was a part of border security with the Coast Guard. So taxing and regulating marijuana could really serve in some ways to increase national security.
That's true, although I would emphasize a different point, which is a dollar of tax revenue is just a dollar. So it can be spent on whatever society thinks is the right kind of expenditure, whether it's education, hospitals, national defense, anything. There doesn't or and shouldn't be any link between the source of the revenue and the use of the revenue, and whether those things that were described by MPP are the best choices of any additional tax revenue. That's a completely different question, and I didn't get into that at all. in my report.
And Jeffrey, did it surprise you when Milton Friedman and that group of 500 economists took your report as a catalyst for writing their open letter?
No, I don't think it's particularly surprising, because the approach that we were talking about is one that's familiar to basically all economists, the taxation regulation. And there's a pretty clear argument why, if society wants to reduce the consumption of a particular commodity, say alcohol or tobacco, the better approach is to have it be a legal commodity but raise its price via taxation, okay, rather than driving it underground. If you prohibit it and drive it underground, a bunch of negative things happen, and under pretty broad conditions, one can argue from economics that the taxation regulation approach is both more effective and uses resources much more efficiently overall. Basically, when you drive it underground, a lot of resources are wasted in the black market and don't benefit sort of society generally. When you tax it, those tax revenues are simply a transfer from people buying to the general public, and the public can use those to fund whatever society chooses.
Jeff, most of the alcohol market is controlled by these large companies here in the U.S., but could a regulated marijuana market lend itself to more small business involvement?
There certainly would be small businesses. Undoubtedly, there would still continue to be people who would grow their own, just as there are people who make their own beer, there are people who grow their own tomatoes, and so on. My guess, however, is that, in fact, we would see an industry that looked pretty similar to the alcohol and tobacco industries. A relatively small number of manufacturers would account for a very large fraction of the market, and then there would be lots of small fringe players, like microbreweries for beer and boutique wineries and things like that. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that's just what the economics would dictate, but it doesn't really matter from the perspective of the beneficial effects of the alternative approach, of the taxation and regulation approach. Society still has the right to regulate the time and place of use, for example, to have driving under the influence laws that apply to marijuana as well as to alcohol. Indeed, most places already have such laws. So that's just a separate question from how the structure of the industry worked out.
Your report also looked at another aspect of pot economics here in the research, and that regarded the judicial and legal expenditures made out there every day due to prohibition. Tell us a little bit about your findings there.
Well, that's actually a somewhat bigger number. My estimate is that's in the ballpark of $8 billion a year. So that's at least as large as the tax benefits. And that actually is a net savings in resources. It's not simply a transfer from one group to another group. So again, that's an improvement in overall government budgets that can be used for other purposes, whether those are tax cuts or whether those are additional hospitals, schools, national security, or whatever.
So combined with the revenues generated by the actual taxing of marijuana as a commodity, with these legal savings as well, this could be a really big financial benefit, especially to the states.
Yeah, I think it's important not to overstate it. I mean, my estimates would be more in the sort of 10 to 14 billion range, and if we look at the federal deficit right now, we're talking hundreds of billions. So it's not a solution to everybody's problems by any stretch, but it's the sensible approach, even setting aside the budgetary implications. And the budgetary implications are just sort of gravy. They're just sort of a bonus on top of the fact that it's a better approach anyway.
Well, Jeffrey, this has been a very informative discussion today. And again, I really appreciate you joining us here today.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much again. Jeffrey Miron is an economist, and he's currently at Harvard University. Listeners can read his full 2005 report, The Budgetary Implications of Marijuana Prohibition, online at the website www.prohibitioncosts.org. And we have links to that on our homepage today as well at normalaudiostash.com.
That's what I want.
Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of Normal, and he joins us here again today to weigh in further on the concept of a taxed and regulated market for marijuana. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, Chris.
A very windy afternoon here in New Jersey it is today. Alan, today's the day where we're asking Normal members, supporters, and chapters to get out to post offices and say, tax me here on Tax Day, both to earn some media and get the word out there. Folks can download posters and flyers with a link we have at normalaudiostash.com. But Alan, just to be clear here, there are some states that have a really strange system for taxing marijuana already. But that is not what we're talking about when we say tax marijuana.
Yeah, no, in fact, and it is certainly worthy of a show all by itself because it's one of my favorite legal sophistries regarding marijuana prohibition is the absurdity of the 23 states in our country that have what are known as drug tax stamps, where individuals are encouraged to go out and buy these tax stamps from the government and affix them to the carrying device, i.e. the baggie for your marijuana. And in those states, if you get caught with marijuana, and you do, you're one of the absolute rare people that would ever go out and buy one of these stamps and affix them to your baggie, then you would not face a civil tax on the marijuana that, of course, by the way, you cannot keep, making this, I think, the only product in all of American commerce that the government issues tax stamps for, but the individual cannot legally possess. So, yes, that is a great legal sophistry, and no, that is not at all what is being discussed here. Ideally, it should be, because just to remind people, if they're having a hard time trying to grasp what we're speaking about here, every pack of cigarettes in the United States that's sold at the retail level on the cellophane attached to it is, in fact, a small state-issued tax stamp. And when people open up a bottle of hard liquor, to actually get into the liquor, you have to break the tax stamp. When it comes to beer and wine, they have negotiated with the federal and state governments to prepay those taxes so they don't have to put a physical tax stamp on every one of those bottles of booze, bottles of beer, or wine. So in the end, no, we're not recreating the wheel here. In fact, when marijuana was first made illegal in 1937, it's called the Marijuana Taxation Act. And the whole premise of it is the federal government was to issue the tax stamps just like it does now for alcohol and tobacco products. And again, one of the great legal sophistries of prohibition, the federal government simply never issued the tax stamps. However, here we are 70 years later, and again, 24 of the states issue drug tax stamps for a product none of us can legally possess.
Now, Alan, there was also some news last week that the California governor's office is seeking to collect sales tax on all medicinal cannabis sold at the hundreds of dispensaries across California. So this idea of a taxed and regulated market for marijuana seems to be quickly becoming a reality there in the Golden State.
Well, in fact, it's an excellent point, and oh, how the worm turns. In the end here, California, since it is already, it has about 300 to 400 of these medical marijuana dispensaries, and because they are selling arguably billions of dollars of cannabis per year, obviously the state and local governments want to enjoy some of the taxation from that product. Again, there's almost no exception in our lives of products that are not taxed. And so, yes, the California government, in what I would describe as a rather laissez-faire attitude about medical marijuana, it now is developing it's the models for taxing medical marijuana, which, by the way, could well set the precedent for taxing marijuana for non-medical purposes throughout the United States.
Now, how big a step is that in California? Because I understand a lot of medical marijuana dispensaries in California are already paying out a significant amount of taxes.
That's right. In fact, in my analyses, and I've been fortunate enough to have a number of these dispensaries actually open up their financial books to me and take a look at what is the functions of these clubs, and many of them are paying $30,000 to $40,000 per month in state taxes. So, I think it's been 10 years. It's been 10 years since the passage of Prop 215, and it's been 5 years since the passage of SB 420. And with that, it has so codified medical marijuana in so many different municipalities in California that it has legitimized and codified it such that the institutions in California, which are always starving for more revenue at the governmental level, they see these clubs as an obvious source of revenue and, to a large degree, can lend to the control that the government can now have in a logical way a little bit more say about where these clubs are situated and whatnot if they are in fact going to, if you will, take the check and cash it each month. And that makes them, in essence, a partner with these medical marijuana clubs. So, in fact, again, California, in this most remarkable and aberrational way, is leading the way on, if you will, normalizing the sales of marijuana.
And we just spoke with Jeff Myron, and I've also been speaking with friends of mine who are accountants and CPAs this week about taxing marijuana as a legal commodity. So it seems from everyone I've talked to this week that from the economist's point of view, the accountant point of view, there is real support for this happening in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in fact, I can literally name, I think in the 16 years I've been at Normal, literally one person in the public realm that most of us would identify immediately as somebody who is an economist or at least is highly engaged in economic discussions, but is a dyed-in-the-wool prohibitionist on something like marijuana, is a one Lou Dobbs from CNN. He might be the only person I know who has a degree in economics, in his case from Harvard no less, who doesn't seem to get it regarding marijuana, human behavior, and what are known as prohibition economics. And so I think it was 2 years ago the Marijuana Policy Project organized 500 economists, including three Nobel Prize winners in the economics realm, to weigh in on this whole policy. And, of course, they were led by Milton Friedman, who a long time ago laid down the premise that there wouldn't be an economist worth their salt that would be in favor of marijuana prohibition.
And Alan, we're asking Normal members, supporters, and chapters to get out there today to those post offices with the signage and the flyers to make a real presence out there today. What would you like to see as executive director? What would you like to see our supporters doing today?
Absolutely. Well, we're putting out the alert to hundreds of thousands of people today and over the weekend to go to Normal chapters links on the webpage, contact one of the 146 Normal chapters in the United States. If there isn't one, then try to form one immediately ad hoc so that you can get this event going this very weekend. And whether it's because this is a rather amorphous tax day this year falling on a Sunday, for most Americans, they're going to be doing their taxes and getting them in no later than Monday the 16th. What we would want to see is anybody who wants to see marijuana legalized and to end prohibition to get involved with the local Normal chapter, get a sign, and stand out there with the 11 o'clock news and make it known to your local community you want to see marijuana taxed, legalized, and ultimately, unlike under prohibition, controlled.
Alan, this has been great. Thank you very much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chris.
Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of Normal in Washington, D.C. You can see him speaking live at a number of events in Florida this week. For more information about those events in Florida, please visit the Florida Normal website at flnorml.org. And again, folks, we have links to the special Normal Tax Day activism page with easy-to-use flyers and banner images. You can take them right on over to Kinko's and the like. Link up to all of them up at normalaudiostash.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
When we spoke to Alan today, he was on his way to Florida. Leah Norval joins us today to discuss the series of events that will be hosted by Florida Normal all this week, at which Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, is set to appear. For more information on all these events, please visit the Florida Normal website at flnorml.org. Leah, welcome to the Audio Stash today.
Hi, thank you.
Great to speak with you. Tell us a bit about the happenings going on there this week.
Starting today, actually, in Tallahassee, we have Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, hosted by FSU, and it's going to be in Tallahassee, and basically he's going to go through to different campuses and just speak about, you know, Normal and what's happening. So We have on 4/16, which is today, in Tallahassee at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow he's going to be in Jacksonville, and that's going to be hosted by University of North Florida, and that's going to start at 12 noon. In Gainesville, University of Florida is hosting. He's going to be there on 4/18. That starts at 8. And on 4/19, he'll be in Miami at the Wallflower Gallery, and that's doors open there, I believe, about 7. But if they want any more information, all of that is on our website at www.flnormal.org.
And Leah, do you expect people to come out to these events who aren't necessarily normal members already?
We do. At least that's what we're hoping for. You know, when people come out, they see what normal is about, and, you know, they see that we are hardworking people, you know, who are trying to, you know, collectively get something done. So that kind of interests them more, and they're, you know, they're always interested in what normal is about and what we're doing. So, yeah, these are actually great opportunities, you know, to hear from somebody other than a student, you know, Alan St. Pierre, for instance, what normal is about, and it does, it gets people interested, and it, you know, gets them joining and getting involved. Great opportunity.
And Leah, normal campus chapters there in Florida, you know, you guys do a great job of reaching out to the surrounding communities as well.
We've been to a lot of community events, Florida Normal has, where people didn't even know we existed. So, you know, we go out there and we let them know that we're here, we're still here, we're here, but not as much as, you know, we're here now, if that makes any sense. So we're, you know, we're bigger and we're stronger. So we're hoping, you know, to get the word out.
And there's also this, I saw this special education day happening Friday on 420. Is that right?
The 420 celebration having at the Boca Raton campus, they're hosting a 420 fun day, it's called, and that's being hosted by FAU. And there's going to be a barbecue. I believe they're doing some tie-dye, some hemp making, and FIU campus just started, you know, they're trying to set up their normal chapter, so no doubt in the near future they'll be having some campus events. And let me think, UNF just started maybe a few months ago. I remember camping with them back in September. Their campus was just getting started, and they were having, you know, some events up there in Jacksonville. And of course, University of Central Florida, which is really, you know, the biggest chapter that is out there, I believe, right now. You know, they have a lot of things going on almost every week. So, I mean, any information that anybody can get, they can get it at our website at flnormal.org, and that'll show the listings of what's going on in each campus and really what Florida Normal is doing, too.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, Leah, thanks again for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
We have links to Florida Normal's website on our homepage today. Just visit normalaudiostash.com.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
We're going to get out of here today with some inspirational music. Here is Mikey Dread from Dread at the Controls, Equal Rights. That's what asking for tax and regulate market of marijuana is, folks. It is an equal right.
Silence your voice. Don't let them. of your human rights. Don't let them silence your voice. Don't let them rob you of your human rights. Stand up for equal opportunities.
Stand up.
Stand up for equal rights. Yeah. Stand up for peace and harmony.
Stand up.
Sisters, don't you give up the fight. Don't let them silence your voice. Don't let them rob you of your human rights. Don't let them silence your voice. Don't let them rob you of your human rights. Oh, no, no, no.
At the controls, we have links to the album on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Download flyers and banners right up on the special Normal Activism Tax Day page. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. To Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.